Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings of life, and we thank you so very much for this day you've given us. We thank you for the success of our first time ever gospel meeting call via conference call, and we thank you for the amazing attendance that we've had, both brothers and sisters in Christ across the nation, and our visiting friends who may not share in our religious convictions in churches of Christ. We, Father, we love you for loving us. We know you gave your best. He gave his life. We're so honored to speak on his behalf and to recognize you as our Father. Be with us, Father. Be with our listening audience. Be with our speaker tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm thankful to have every person on the call tonight, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We put this call on with you in mind. We want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible has the right answer for those seeking to go to heaven. It's important to follow the terms of the Bible. It's the right answer. What you must do to prepare for death, make it happen afterwards. And so we pray tonight that you will take a piece of paper and your pen. Tim Ellaby will give a lesson. He's going to want to illustrate some things. So we want to ask you, everyone, members and non-members, get you a piece of paper and pencil. Write down the things he's going to talk about. And in the end, there'll be illustration there for you. Brother Tim Ellaby is a friend of mine, also one who was a member of Holler Heights Church of Christ. And now he's in Round Rock, Texas. And tonight, Brother Ellaby will talk about the sinner's prayer, the truth about the sinner's prayer. This time, we'll let Brother Ellaby come in his own way. May God bless you.
Good evening, everyone. I am so thankful and grateful to have this opportunity to speak to you, and we're just so glad that you are here and that you've joined us tonight. I'm going to try to make this as practical as possible. As Tommy has said, I have been given the truth about the sinner's prayer. I do want to acknowledge two very, very special people to me, and, of course, my family. But I believe my aunt Liz Alderman from Baltimore might be on, and maybe my aunt Dora Nettles might be on from Florence, South Carolina. But I want to acknowledge those two great women who have had a hand in raising me and my wife, and just want to thank them for joining, and all of you, of course. Let's get started. Traditions, we all have them. I mean, these are traditions. Sometimes we have traditions we don't even understand that we have. And traditions in and of themselves are not necessarily bad things. But traditions traditions that are contrary to the Word of God are things that we want to deal with tonight. And the Bible says in Mark 7:7, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." One version says in Matthew 15:9, "They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." And what I want to talk about just for a moment is a story that reminds me of a tradition that a family had, and it really was a tradition that they, the younger generation didn't even realize why they were doing it. There was a mother and a daughter, and the mother was cooking a ham, and she found that her mother had always prepared the ham by cutting the ends off and cutting the good meat off and basically tossing it aside. And her young daughter looked at her and said, "Mommy, why do you cut the ends of the ham off before you put it in the pan?" And the mother said, "I don't know. My mother always did it that way." So what she did was she picked up the phone and she called her mother. "Mom, why did we always cut the ends off of the ham and throw the ends away?" And she said, "Well, your grandmother would always do it that way, but she wouldn't throw the ends away. She would use it in something else." She said, "Let me call your mother." She said, "Call my mother." She said, "Mom, why did we always cut the the ends off the ham before we put it in the pan?" And the great grandmother said, "Baby, because I never had a pan that was big enough." So for all these years and all of this tradition, these guys have done this thing, without the understanding of why they did it. This is what I want to do tonight, is I want to challenge some traditions that we believe are Bible truths that may not be in the Bible. As Brother Tommy had asked you to do earlier, to get a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. I know you didn't think you were going to take a test tonight, but we're going to have a 7-question true-false test. And I'm going to ask you some things, and I'm going to ask you to write down on a piece of paper whether it is true or false. And I want you to remember your answers as we get down to explaining the answers. Number one, Adam and Eve ate an apple in the garden. True or false? Adam and Eve ate an apple in the garden. True or false? Number two, 3 wise men visited Jesus. True or false? Number three, a whale swallowed Jonah. True or false? Number four, in the New Testament, there is a scripture that says, cleanliness is next to godliness. True or false? Number five, in the Old Testament, there is a scripture that says, this verbatim, God works in mysterious ways. Number six, the New Testament says that you must say a sinner's prayer in order to be saved. Number seven, the gospel is how a sinner is saved. Take a moment to catalog your answers and think about those answers. And here's a bonus question. Take a minute, and we're going to come back and answer this one later. Take a minute. We got time. To write down what you did to be saved. Take a minute to write down what you did to be saved. If you believe that you are saved, write down what you did to be saved. And I have a question to ask you. If we show you scripturally that what you did is not according to scripture, will you be willing to do what God has asked you to do or us to do in order to be saved and to be in line with what the scripture says? Now let's take a moment to go back over our answers to our questions. If you answer true for the first question, sad to say, you got that wrong. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6, that they merely ate fruit. It does not specify what type of fruit. Number two, if you answered 3 wise men were true, then you would be incorrect again. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, all it says is that they bought 3 gifts. There are traditional holiday songs that say, we 3 kings of Orient are, but that is not scriptural. So those first 2 answers are false. A whale swallowed Jonah is also false. Jonah 1:17 basically says a great God prepared a great fish. Despite what VeggieTales taught you, the Bible never says that a whale swallowed Jonah. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That too is false. Now, it might be a good way to get your kids to take a bath, but that's not in the Bible. God works in mysterious ways. That too is false. That is not a scripture found in the Bible. Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9 reminds us that God's ways are different from our ways, but no biblical prophet ever uttered those words, and you cannot find that in the scripture. You say the sinner's prayer in order to be saved. The sinner's prayer is found in the Bible. This is the saddest false piece of information that is on this quiz, because there are so many sincere folks that have been taught this, and just like that mother and daughter have believed this, but there is no Bible to support this at all. In fact, the Bible is contrary to that. Let me give you a scripture in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 to 23. The Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? In verse 23, he says, and then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. Here is what what man says the center prayer is. And here's and I'll share some things with you in a moment. But the center's prayer has been modified over time. But let me get to the last question. The gospel is how a sinner is saved. And the answer to that is an emphatic truth. If you look at the Bible in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Greek. Now let's talk about the sinner's prayer just for a moment, as we try to bring some points out that hopefully will be helpful to you. The sinner's prayer in its modern day iteration goes something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. Friends, family members, if you wrote down that this is the way you were saved, I really am going to say this in all the love that I can muster. This is not a scriptural way that God gives for men and women to be saved from their sins. Let me give you a little history on the sinner's prayer. There were several versions of this. The first time that you see the sinner's prayer come on the scene was by a man by the name of John Bunyan in 1678. So we're talking well over 400 years ago, around 400 years ago, over 300 years ago. And then a gentleman by the name of Eliezer Wheelock used the technique, but he added the mourner's bench in 1750. And some of us who are older remember the mourner's bench, and maybe there's some people that still practice that. In 1835, another gentleman by the name of Charles Finney, he modified Wheelock's method. And then in 1860, a gentleman by the name of Dwight Moody, he took Finney's method and he modified that. So you see about every 50 years or 7,500 years, this sinner's prayer is getting modified. And that's extremely important because when man puts his say in a thing, he can modify it. But God's word is never changed. It is settled in heaven, never to be changed by any creed of man. In about the early 1900s, a gentleman by the name of Billy Sunday, who was a former baseball player, he modified it again. In the 1950s, the well-known Billy Graham adopted it to his worldwide crusades, and he changed it again. In fact, the one I just read for you is his version. In about 2012, at an annual religious meeting, there was a great debate amongst religious folks that believe that the sinner's prayer is how a person is saved. And in that debate, what happened was they declared that they reaffirmed in 2012. Why am I bringing all of this up? Because man can do anything and he can change anything to suit himself. And I'm sure that these were sincere folks, and several of these folks may have been sincere. But sometimes you can be sincere but wrong. You look at the story I told earlier, and you can have people that are sincere, and they're nice people, and they mean well, but you can still be sincere and wrong. But when it comes to our salvation, that is something that we don't want to be wrong about. You see, man creates things from a traditional standpoint that contradicts the Word of God. And what we find in the scripture is there's three places in the scripture. In the beginning of the Bible, Deuteronomy 4:2, in the middle of the Bible, Proverbs 30:6, and at the end of the Bible, Revelation 22:18 and 19, God tells us not to add to his word. In fact, let me read Proverbs 30 and verse 6 to you. He said, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. That's hard, but guess what? That is true and it's fair because it's from the word of God. And we don't need to add to God's word or take away from God's word because we will suffer the consequences of doing that. God knows what he's doing, and he cannot make any mistakes. And so God challenges us through the scripture and never to add to his word. And the sinner's prayer is an addition to his word, just like some of the other things that we talked about earlier are additions to God's word. Let me show you a sinner who prayed, but it didn't save him. Many of you are familiar with our beloved Apostle Paul, who was Saul. And when he was converted, his name was changed to Paul. In Acts, the 9th chapter, and we'll spend a little bit of time, Acts chapter 9. And the Bible reads in verse number 9 that Paul, after he'd been blinded, the Bible says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. In verse 10, he says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judah for a one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is doing what? He is praying. Paul is blind. He has been visited by Christ, and he's blind. And what is he doing when the gospel preacher Ananias gets to him? He is praying. Now, let's pick this up in another verse. But before we do this, let me just tell you something about Paul. Saul, I should say. Saul was not a nice man. In fact, the Bible says that in Acts the 9th, the 26th chapter, that he, in verse 10, it says he put people to death that were Christians. They said he punished them often in verse 11 of Acts 26. He compelled them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And he was in being exceedingly enraged against them. He hated Christians, and he said he persecuted them even to foreign cities. Paul was a sinner. In fact, he'll go on to say in 1 Timothy 1:15 that he was so bad that he was the worst of sinners. But I'll tell you something, my friends and my brothers and sisters. What he says is this in verse number 9 of Acts 26. He said he did it. He said, indeed, I myself thought I must be doing many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Listen, he was sincere about what he was doing, and he did it with vigor, and he hated Christians. This man was a sinner, and he was on his knees praying to God Almighty. But guess what? Let's look at Acts chapter 22 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and those who were with me indeed, they saw this light. In verse number 10, he says, so I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Listen, this is the perfect time for the Lord to tell him to say the sinner's prayer. He didn't tell him to say the sinner's prayer. He says, go to Damascus and you will be told what you should do. Let's find out what the gospel preacher told him to do. Acts 22. The Bible says, when he got there in verse 22 and verse 16, for the sake of time, and now, this is what Ananias said to him when he met him in verse 16. Why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? He says, arise. He said, get up from praying. See, if prayer would have saved him, there would be nothing else for him to do. He says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is how we call on the name of the Lord, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We quoted earlier Romans 1:16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, unto the Jew first and to the Greek." Let me show you how important the gospel is. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles, or write these down, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. And he said, "To give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in his mighty angels." This is a sad commentary. He says, "In flame and fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destructions from the presence of the glory, from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power." You know, there's going to be many people, in, as we said earlier, that will say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done many works in your name?" As we said in Matthew chapter 7. And he's going to say, "I never knew you." Ask yourself the question. If you answered the question differently from what I'm getting ready to tell you on what you need to do in order to be saved, what are you willing to do to rectify that tonight? The person who invited you to the call wanted you to hear the truth of the gospel, just a simple message of the gospel. And I'm going to give you another analogy. Let's suppose, and I want you to look around your house. Let's just suppose that there's three doors in the room that you're in. And you can go into three different doors. Let's say one door leads to your bedroom. Let's say one door leads to your bathroom. And let's say one door leads to a closet. And I want you to imagine that you're watching the news. And they said a tornado is coming. And you must go into the closet in your rooms. You must go into the closet, not the bedroom, not the bathroom, but you must go into the closet in order to be saved. Anybody who is not in the closet when the storm hits will die. What will you do? Of course, you're going to go into the closet. But what if I told you there was a way to get into the closet, and that's the only way to do it? I want you to imagine it takes 5 steps to get to your closet. And on that 5th step, you can get inside your closet. But every step before you get to your closet, you're not in the closet. And so here's the point I'm trying to make. The safe place is in the closet, is the point I'm trying to make. In order to be saved, you have to be in the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved." And when you look back in the earlier text, you'll find out that people obey the gospel to get in the church. Let's go back to our analogy. 5 things. Step number 1, you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What must you hear? You must hear the words of the gospel, Acts 15:7. That's step 1. You heard the gospel message. You got something to do next. Once you've heard the gospel message of what to be saved, and here's what the gospel message is, that Jesus Christ died and suffered for our sins. We all know that. He was beaten. He was brutalized. He had crowns of thorn put in his head. He was beaten all night. That's the gospel message. This is what God did for us because he loved us so much. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. He loved you. He loved me. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And not only that, he was brutalized on that cross for our sins. So we shouldn't take it lightly. And he said, "If you love me," and we say we love him. He said, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." Jesus says, "If you believe and are baptized, you will be saved." That's a commandment of Christ. So you hear the gospel. That's step 1. You're still not in that safe place in your house. Imagine you're walking towards that safe place in your house. So in order to be saved from the storm. after you heard the gospel, you got to make a decision what you're going to do with it. You got to believe. The Bible says this, but these are the ones that are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. That's step number two. You made that second step, but guess what? You're not in that safe place in your house to be safe from the storm. Number three, you must repent of your sins. The Bible says in Luke 13:3, Jesus says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's three steps to the closet, but you're not in there yet. Number four, the Bible says this, and this is where people get the sinner's prayer wrong. Romans 10, 9 and 10, he says, calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But the Bible says we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation, not into salvation, but unto salvation. So you four steps. You got your hand on the doorknob, getting ready to go in the safe place, and now you got to get inside the door. How do you get inside the door? Here's the key to getting inside the door. The door is locked, and the key is this. You have to be baptized into Christ. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:26-27, baptism puts us into Christ. After you've done those four things, baptism puts you into Christ. It puts you into the body of Christ. It puts you into the church of Christ. And now you're saved. But guess what you got to do once you get in there? You got to stay in there. And you got to stay faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. He says, be faithful unto death, and he'll give you a crown of life. If you're here this evening, first and foremost, we are so grateful you're here. I want you to go back and look at your paper. Did you do those things to be saved, or did you say a sinner's prayer that's not in the Bible? If you said a sinner's prayer that's not in the Bible, with as much love as I can muster, that does not save you. You must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you all so much for being here tonight. I want to thank the brethren who put this on. I want to thank the elders at the Westside Church of Christ who support and are probably on this call tonight. I want to thank my wife and family. I want to thank my good friends and my brothers. I want to thank all my family members. I want to thank you most of all for coming here to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Tommy, I will turn it back over to you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Tim. We're very thankful for you, for the simplicity of the message you brought tonight as it pertains to the truth about the sinner's prayer. I'm glad I passed the test. I know what steps I took. I know where I was at the first time I heard the whole little story of how a Savior came from glory. He gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I know I obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that teaching that I can find in the Bible. And we appreciate you telling us. And we appreciate the fact that we can go through the scripture and verify what we did. Was it according to the scripture? And so those who are listening tonight, not members of the Church of Christ, we wanted you to take this test. We wanted you to think about the things that Brother Tim has said tonight as pertaining to your soul salvation. We speak the truth in love. That's what we're doing every night this week, all the way through this month. We've had other speakers on Wednesday night about the sinner's prayer. Each Wednesday night will be about the sinner's prayer this month. If you want more information on it, go to our website. We've recorded all these lessons. Tonight we had a few technical difficulties, but the recording, it's fine. So go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And you'll see all the recorded messages from this gospel meeting this month. And we want you to listen to it. Listen carefully to it. If you want to call tonight and you want to get baptized, you say, you know what, I didn't do that. I did pray the sinner's prayer. We want you to get back with the person who put you on the call. Your friend, your family member, or someone may have sent you a message through email or Facebook. When you call us, can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will get you further teaching. We'll make sure we get you to a congregation to baptize you. You can get baptized tonight. In the Houston area, you give us a call. We'll take care of you. But wherever you are, we'll find a brother to get to you. Make sure you get washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be at the one true church you can read about in the Bible. And that is the Church of Christ. It's the Church of Christ. Yeah. You know, we're excited to have so many on the call. Our brothers and sisters across the nation have joined us. And, you know, we just have been noticing all of the different states that have been we couldn't get everybody announcements. It's just way too many people calling. They do announcements. We're probably going to slow that down a little bit. So this is a call tonight for over 1,500 online with us. We thank you so very much for joining us. We pray you're being edified if you're a member of the Church of Christ. We pray if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're being educated on what you must do. Save your soul. This time we ask our co-host, come on, Brother Anthony Flunder. Give us the lineup for what's upcoming.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and thank you, Brother Ellaby, for that lesson on tonight. On tomorrow night, we will have Brother Don Blackwell from South Haven, Mississippi. He'll be speaking from the subject, The Truth About True Worship. And on Friday, we'll have Brother Al Washington from Luling, Texas, speaking from the topic, The Truth About Salvation. We ask that you continue to support this nationwide gospel effort. And if you want to know who our speakers will be for next week, it is posted on the Highland Heights website at highlandheightscoc.net. This time I'll turn you back over to Brother Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Flood. Also, we have our assistant minister, Brother Horace Stroud, to come up and give us some closing comments. Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, Brother Flounder. And again, thank you to my close friend, Brother Ellaby, who shared in this lesson, in this simplicity, those things that we find in the Bible. What one, as he talked about, the bonus question was the most important question that one must do. And I wrote down, what did I do? I heard the gospel, believed it, repented of my sins, I confessed of the name of Jesus Christ, was baptized for the remission of my past sins. One thing I want to just share, Brother Ellaby shared on one of his answers. He gave Old Testament scripture for question number three. It calls him fish in the Old Testament, where he gave reference Jonah 1:17. However, if you have a King James version of that question, it will say in Matthew 12:40, the whale's belly, if you have that, the King James Version. So just want to let us know we're consistent with the Word of God in that question. And Jonah, his answer, Jonah 1:17, it does refer to him as a fish and not name him as it did in Matthew 12:40. But again, I want to thank everybody who's on the call tonight. And my hope and my prayer, as he reference his aunts that was helpful in raising him. And we all have aunts, we all have relatives that we love. And the thing that we love, we will love most is that they will, as Jesus said, the seed that fall on an honest and a good heart will bring forth fruit. And our hope is that those, our friends, our loved ones, will be honest with themselves and see that the preaching of the word was shared tonight. It was given book, chapter, and verse, what one must do, hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be water baptized for the forgiveness of their sin. And the Lord, according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. So again, we thank everyone for being on the call. And if you was given an invitation by someone in the Church of Christ, we ask that you will get back with that person because our ultimate goal is to seek and save the lost and to share those things that people will obey God and be obedient to the gospel and be water baptized, as Brother Ellaby so eloquently said that one may be added to the church. We thank you again for being on our call on tonight. And again, if you've been a part of that 20 for 20, or if you've gotten on after we started, we ask you to just get on each night with us. We have, as Brother Flonda mentioned, the two that will come on tomorrow night, and then we'll start it again next week. And we are just trying to not be so much concerned by seeing 2020, because we walk by faith and not by sight. But we want to hear 2020, 20 messages, 20 sermons, and 20 nights. And so we want to continue with that. We thank everybody for being on the call this evening. Let me close by offering a word of prayer. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come at this time thanking you, dear Lord, for all that are on the call tonight. We thank you for your manservant, who in his simplicity has shared the word, dear Lord, in a practical sense, that we can see those things that are in the Word of God, and that will obey the same. We pray for those hearts that may be basically on the fence, as it is sometimes stated, concerning obeying God and doing what has been shared in the Bible, and relying on what they feel is correct. And hopefully, as Brother Ellaby said, John 20, 30, and 31, they will believe the things that are written and obey those things. We thank you, dear Lord, again for this opportunity. Thank you for all that's on the call tonight. Thank you for those that are coordinating this call. And we pray that we'll all be on tomorrow night to hear another great message. And we'll invite more of our friends and family to get on the call. And dear Lord, as Brother Brooks shared tonight, the God's kingdom can spread all the way to Alaska, here from Texas, the Word of God. Can go in all areas. And I think, as Brother Brooks mentioned to me, there was one in Afghanistan that had heard, had been on the call. And so we just thankful, dear Lord, that you're allowing your word to reach all these places. And we thankful tonight for this call. We thank you for all your blessings. This prayer we offer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Let us all say amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Stroud. We want to say to everyone, please stay connected to us. We're doing good. The call is going great. Numbers are going up. We're working through a few technical problems, but we're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. With God, all things are possible. Stay focused, 2020. And God bless you. See you tomorrow night.